Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
In Psalm 100, it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Say it with me. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Then it says, worship the Lord with gladness.
Worship the Lord with gladness.
Come before him with joyful songs.
Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us. And we are his.
We are his people.
The sheep of his pasture. Everybody knows this one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Because the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, if you believe that, I want you to give the Lord the biggest hand you possibly can. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, God. There's another scripture that says, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. It's a great thing about I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. But you know what? I've never seen anybody who turns their heart to God be disappointed. Now, we get disappointed, but not because God disappointed. Because God cannot fail. Can you say amen? Amen. How many of you have been going to the Rooted sessions? That's a lot of you. So you'll know what I'm about to talk about. But if you've been here the last few Sundays, you know that Pastor's been preaching about strongholds. Y'all didn't say a loud amen right there.
Amen.
He's been preaching about strongholds.
Amen.
And just to review, in case you weren't here, a stronghold, and these are my definitions, but a stronghold is something that you've done by suggestion. The devil suggested it to you. Somebody suggested it to you. Maybe you decided you wanted to suggest it to yourself, but you heard it, and then you decide, I'm going to act on that. And you did it once. Then you heard the suggestion, and you acted on it again. And every time you acted on that, and let's be clear, it wasn't good behavior. Every time you acted on it, you gave roots to bad behavior that becomes deeper and deeper. And the deeper it gets, the stronger it gets. And the stronger the desire, it eventually becomes a stronghold. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? So I got some good news for you. Pastor's been preaching it for the last 3 weeks. We heard about it in Rooted a couple of weeks ago, that God came, he sent Jesus to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Who is the author of strongholds? Hello. Who's the author? Is God the author of strongholds? No. Does he want to trap you? Does he want to keep you enslaved to some sin? No, the devil is. Let's be clear. It's not God. It's the devil. So if you're trapped in something and it's a stronghold and you can't get free, it's because the devil doesn't want you free, A, or two, you don't want to be free. That's possible. But I got more good news. You can be free. You can be free. All you have to do is open your mouth and say so. I want to be free. Even if you don't break free right that moment by saying what's in your heart, I want to be free, God starts to operate in your life. When you say yes to God, he begins to operate in your life. He'll send somebody by to set you free. He'll send somebody to tell you a truth that'll be like a spear or maybe an ice pick and a piece of ice. and bam, or that rock that hits your windshield, click, and it's a little tiny thing. And next day it's a little bigger, and the next day it's a little bigger, and one day the whole thing breaks. That's like the chains that the devil holds over us. Amen? Amen. So 2 Corinthians 10 says this. Can we put that scripture up on the board? It says, for, is it up there yet? No, that's Psalm 34. How about 2 Corinthians 10:3? There we go. For, read it with me. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Next verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Let's read that again. Back up. Back up. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down strongholds. Let's pray. Father, your word is true. We thank you that you're faithful to your word, to watch over, to make sure it comes to pass. We thank you that your word is like a seed that gets planted in our spirit, and we receive it, and we water it by repeating, by hearing it, by listening to it, God, and then it becomes life to us. And so, Lord, I pray that this word this morning that we hear would become life to us, that you would set some people free today. Lord, that you would open the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our ear, of our understanding, and the ears of our heart, that we would hear, see, and understand clearly what you want us to hear, see, and understand. Holy Spirit, move in this house today. Touch everyone in the place they need you so greatly. Father, we thank you that you plan to do great works among us today, and we submit to it in your authority, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. Let it be. Amen. So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Carnal means they're not natural. They're not like a real sword or a gun. They didn't have guns back then, but, you know, they're not really, really fighting instruments, because we're not fighting people. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting in the spirit realm. I had a conversation the other day with somebody, and they were talking about how things happen. And I said, well, we live in kind of one world, but there's also another world. There's the seen world, what we see with our eyes, touch with our hands, smell. That's the one world. But then there's another world. It's the unseen world. It's the spirit world. It's the place where the devil lives. It's the same place where the Spirit of God lives. However, we serve a mighty God. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Tell yourself, I believe that. Amen. You got to talk to yourself sometime, because sometimes self gets crazy. I remember one time there was a drunk. He was a drunk. This is back in the day when they used to call them drunkies. And he was a drunk. He was laying on, he was all on the ground, and somebody tried to rob him, take his wallet. And he got up. And all of a sudden he came to himself and he said, you better check yourself before you be by yourself. And we were like, what does that mean? Check yourself before you be by. So what does that mean this morning? Check yourself before you be by yourself. If you know what that means, you'll be in good shape. If you don't know what it means, keep listening. I'm saying it to get you provoked to righteousness this morning. Check yourself so that you're not by yourself. Amen. There you go. How's that? So we serve a mighty God, and he's given us weapons of warfare to pull down strongholds. One of the weapons of our warfare, several of them, there's many of them, but one of them is prayer. Another one is the word of God. It's a great weapon. That's the sword of the spirit, it says. But there's another weapon called worship, something we were doing today. And I know some of you, when you come to church, you get here at about 11 something or other, or just in time for the message, and you miss the worship, and so you're missing an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to break off of you things that need to be broken off. How many times do you go to church and expect to receive from God? See, everybody didn't raise their hand. Sometimes when I've come to church, I'm going to confess, I've come to church because I was born in church. I was raised in church. I went every Sunday school, church, 3 o'clock service, 7 o'clock service, count the offering, go to bed. I mean, I was in church. So sometimes I went just because I had to. And so I didn't go expecting nothing. I just went. If I could have fell asleep, I would have. And sometimes I did. Some of y'all, I think, come to church like that. You come because you have to. You come because you know you should. And when you get here, you don't get what you want to get. And I'm telling you today that that can change. By the power of God, every time you come to church, you can get something. I once went to a church, I won't name the denomination, but I was invited by some people that I work with, and they heard that I played the piano, so they asked me to come and play for a friend of theirs, so I didn't know anybody there. And when I got to the church, the girl sang the song, the person who was the preacher, it looked like he just woke up, his hair was all disheveled, his suit was on crooked, and he was walking in halfway like this in the pulpit, and he was half drunk, I'm not lying. And he did not open the Bible one time, he did not quote a scripture one time, and he just was talking. And he was trying to get people excited about going to heaven. And I thought, at the way you're living, you ain't gonna make it. So, without being judgmental, I just said, Lord, I'm here and I wanna receive from you. And I'm in church today and I wanna receive from you. So God said, keep your ears and your eyes open and you will. So nothing in the service had any anointing. I'm serious. It was like God was nowhere to be found. But it came time for this one lady to give her testimony. And she had gone to a Sunday school convention. And she came back to report to the church because they sent her and paid for her to go. She came back to do her report. And when she was giving her report, the Holy Spirit just poured out on me. She was standing right in front of me. And he said, here's your food. And her testimony got me excited. And it blessed me. And it was like nothing else in the whole service. But God said, you could be a spiritual scavenger. You know what a scavenger is? Animals that go around and it doesn't look like there's food anywhere, but they dig long and hard. And before you know it, they come up with something. And that's kind of how I decided I was going to go to church from now on. That when I came to church, I was going to come with the idea that God wants to speak to me, A, and that I want to hear from him, B. And so it doesn't matter what happens, I'm going to get something from God. Amen? Amen? So this morning, I want you to wake up and make up your mind that you're going to get something from God this morning. Amen? It don't matter what I say. It matters what God wants to do. And I've been in services before where the Holy Spirit will feed you and you'll get something and the pastor or whoever's preaching will be saying something and it won't have nothing to do with what they're saying. But the Holy Spirit is present to meet every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This morning he is here and he wants to speak to all of us today what we need to hear. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Worship is a weapon. And I want to give you a kind of a definition of worship. And when I say worship, I'm talking about praise and worship. Because we usually think of worship as just, you know, all of it. And there are two different things, but they're all in the same category. We're giving our expressions toward God. Okay? So it says to worship is to put all, not some, but all the emphasis in what you do or say toward God. I was at a worship leader's meeting one time, and one of the people made the statement, worship leaders cannot be arrogant. I said, what do you mean he can't be arrogant? He was saying, well, since worship is all about God, you can't come in there like you all that and a bucket of cheese or chips or whatever you want to be and try to worship God because you're trying to draw all the attention to how well you sing or play or do whatever you do. And it's not about God. It's about you. So by definition, you can't be an arrogant worshiper. You can't come before God like, I know I'm bad. Can you? Oh, maybe you can. The Bible does say come boldly to the throne of grace. But what it says is to receive mercy. So that doesn't mean you come in there like you have it all together and you know everything and you're just doing God a favor. And sometimes I think we think that we're doing God a favor when we raise our hand. We're just helping them out. I know they told me to raise my hand. And some people just sit there and watch. And they watch somebody else get happy. Or they see somebody jumping up and down. And you just, what's wrong with that guy? And the thing about it is, if God delivered them, if he delivered you the way he delivered them last week from some big thing, you'd be shouting too. Andre used to say, they say we're holy rollers, and what they say is true. But if they knew what we was rolling about, they'd be rolling too. That's right. So worship is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for God. The thing says deity, but there's only one deity. There's only one God. Everybody else is faking it. Buddha and Muhammad and all the rest of them are faking it. They're posers. In the music industry, a poser is somebody who looks like they're doing something, but they're not doing nothing. And that's what them gods are, a bunch of posers. Buddha's sitting up there. How many arms does he have? I mean, he's sitting up there with that belly looking all whatever. Let me get back to the subject. There's only one God, the worship of God. A synonym for worship is reverence, veneration, adoration, glorification, exaltation, devotion, praise, thanksgiving, honor. Another definition for worship is worthiness or worth-ship. You worship God because he is worth it. He's worth worshiping. That's a poor definition, but it's something. Amen? Amen. Another definition is to feel in the heart toward God. So I asked my wife if I could do this, and she didn't mind too much what I'm about to do. She doesn't really know what I'm going to do, but this is kind of cool, though. Worship is all about Jesus and none about you. It's only about you because you think you're the one doing the worship. That's how some of us are. Those words, reverence, adoration, thanksgiving, honor, exaltation, praise, and devotion, are all words that describe the acts of worship. Have you ever taken a picture with any of the current crop of digital cameras that we have now? And, you know, they have 400 megapixels, you know. They say like 5 megapixels, 10 megapixels. Now they're 16 megapixels. So you could take a picture with a real fine picture. And when you look at it, you can see, just think of like this stage here. And if you wanted to see something up real close, like maybe this microphone, you could zoom in and just focus on this little microphone here, right? And if the picture is really good and high resolution, you'll be able to see that microphone in pretty good detail. So one day I was engaged to Jerutha, and she was going on a mission trip to Africa, and I was too. We were going different places at different times. However, she went first, and when she came back, then the day she came back that night, I flew out. So I picked her up from the airport. I went to her house, and she happened to have a grandson, and she was sitting on the stoops, and I said, oh, let me take a picture. I just got my brand new camera. I was taking it to Africa with me so I could capture all the sights and sounds, and I took a picture, and she was sitting there. She was holding Matthias like this. And then the steps were there and the house behind it. So now that you have the picture, you could see. That's what I had in my camera. So I had, there's a little setting in there that I could make it so that I could not erase that in the camera. So I saved it in such a way that it could not be erased. I went to Africa, and on the trip, it's like 100 million hours, it seems like, on the plane. And while I was on the plane, I was thinking about her, and whipped out my phone, my camera, and I looked at the picture. I was like, that's my wife to be. Put it away. Got a little further along. I whipped it out again. Look at that. Then I was looking at her and I thought, I don't want to see Matthias. So I zoomed in a little more. And I got rid of the house. And then I kept looking. You know what? I don't want to see the house neither. So I zoomed in a little more. And then I had her like from here up. And so her arms went. And then I was like, well, that's nice. How far can I go? And then I pulled it all the way until her head took up the whole screen, you know. And I was just admiring the screen and looking at her and just, you see how I'm smiling now? That's how I was smiling. And one of the guys looked at me and he said, Brother Paul, what you smiling about? Who you looking at in that picture there? What is that? I said, that's my fiance. He said, you getting ready to get married? I said, yeah. He said, wow, that's great, man. And he and I were roommates and we had a long time to talk during the 2-week trip. And so over and over again, he would say, so how's your fiance doing? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't talked to her, but I got a picture right here. And I'd look at it. And then one of the other people that was on the trip with me, they knew that my first wife had passed away and they knew I was getting married. And so she said to me, her and her husband were sitting to me and talking. And they, so what's your new wife like? Tell us about, well, you know, they were asking all the questions. And I was just going on and on. Man, I can't wait to meet her. And I'm telling you all that because I just got to look at how we relate to God. So let me, in fact, can I ask somebody to get me a fresh glass of water, please? Thank you. One of the ushers. So as I'm looking at her picture, I started to realize that I really loved her. And I began to say it. And I start talking about how much I loved her. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's thoughtful. She's gracious. She's kind. She's sweet. She's faithful. She's a giving person. Thank you so much. She's caring, welcoming, friendly, understand. She's a good listener. She's loyal. And then I put some dots down here because I could go on all day. So when you would think that I was worshiping her, wouldn't you? The way I talked about her, it's pretty kind of intimate. Some of y'all going, I don't want to hear that. I didn't go too far. But when we say we love Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who saved us from our sin, the one who broke the chains off of us. How many of you have been set free from something in your life? When you got saved, you were using, you've been set free from something. God has done something for you. And as much as I love my wife, where you at, honey? There you go. As much as I love my wife, I love God even more. And she cannot compare to God. There is no way. But I don't have enough words. And what I'm trying to tell you is that we should get to the place where we can worship God till he shows up. Now, sometimes when we worship God, what ends up happening is we just do a little something-something. That's why it says, enter his courts with praise. You know what the courts are? When you come in the front door out there, that's the courts. Come down into the sanctuary would be like coming into the next level of closeness toward God. And not that this is true, but this could be like the Holy of Holies up here, but it's not. But let's just say it is, all right? So if you jumped up here on the stage, you'd be up close to us. Well, that would be kind of being up close to God. And that's where we want to get every time. And our job as people that were created by God, one of our main jobs is to worship him. He created us to worship him. We don't hear that enough. God created you to worship him. He didn't create you so you could be Michael Jordan or, you know what? He created you to worship him. You might be Michael Jordan. You might be some great person. You might be the president of the United States, but if you are and you have all that, you should turn around and worship the Almighty God. Can I get a witness this morning? Hallelujah. To remind you of that, it's a good thing to look at the scripture. The Bible says in Psalms 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. We've kind of colloquialized that statement, and we say God inhabits, or he hangs around the praises of his people. You know what? If I just met you for the first time and I just started telling about how wonderful you were and how you look so great and whatever I could think to say positive about you, that I kept saying that, would you want to run away from me? Would you? Man, I can't stand being around that guy. He's always talking about how good I am and how nice I am. And, oh my goodness, I can't take it. No, you'd want to come and hang around. And what does God do when we praise him? The Bible says he inhabits the praises. He hangs around. He loves it when we worship. He's the only thing that he created us to worship. He didn't create us to worship our jobs or our money or our wives or other people or our circumstances or anything else, but he created us to worship him. So if we can get excited about being with him, things change. There's a scripture that says, "In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand there are pleasures evermore." In his presence there's fullness of joy. When you worship God, he comes to where you are. But also something happens to you. Because I've learned this over the years. There's an exchange that happens when you worship God. And this is the connection to strongholds. When you get in God's presence, sin can't hang out in God's presence. Do you notice when you start to worship God, you want to confess? If you have some sin in your life, if you don't, you kind of hold it to yourself. You don't want to worship. You don't want to raise your hand. But if you really want to be with God and you want to worship him, what happens is you don't want to have nothing blocking the way. I mean, I love my wife, you know, but if we had an argument, I don't want to spend time with her really. But I do, and I force myself to, even when it's my fault, I still come. You know why? Because I love her and I want to be in her presence. So I don't let arguments or trouble or problems keep me from being with her. In the same way, and it's really a poor example, but in the same way, we should not let our sin or our problems or whatever block us from relating to God. Because when we get in his presence, something changes. The exchange that happens is that God gives us beauty for ashes. All the crap in your life is falling away when you begin to get in God's presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. The fullness of joy, that's an Old Testament, Old English phrase. Fullness of joy. It means that you're bursting to the seams with happiness. Fullness of joy. Chuck tied my shoe this morning, so it ain't going to come off. Hallelujah. There's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. You get changed from the image that you are to the image that Christ is when you come into his presence. And that's why the devil wants to keep you out of his presence. So you won't change. So your stronghold stays there. In fact, so it can grow. But I double dog dare you to get into his presence. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. All the junk that you got. How many of you have some junk? Do you want to get rid of it? Get in his presence. That's the first way to get rid of it. If you got pain, I don't know, man. I remember one day I was having my Bible study. I was worshiping God. I just woke up. And after about an hour and a half of praise and reading the scripture and listening to the Holy Spirit and praying and whatnot, I got up and my desk was about 4 feet from my bed. And I was about 3 feet there and the Holy Spirit said, "I just healed you from something that happened to you when you were 2 or 3 years old." And I was like, whoa. And I was like, just heal me from something? And I started to go, I wonder what it was. And then I was like, I don't need to know. I'm healed. This is a done deal. Forget about it. Because I was in his presence. I didn't ask him. I don't even know what it was. I'll know when I get to heaven. But it doesn't matter. Because being in his presence is worth it. When I got in his presence, he changed me. He healed me from some brokenness in my life. He healed me from something else. I went to a conference, if you were, and I was part of the music team, and we were ministering, and they had a Bible study after a morning breakfast, or before morning breakfast, rather. And so I was fasting that day, but I also had an asthma attack the night before, and I couldn't breathe all night, so I decided I would fast, because I didn't have that much room in my lungs, and so if I ate, it would shorten up how much room I had left to, you know, so I didn't eat. So I'm fasting, and it just turns out that in my fasting, I was more sensitive to the Holy Spirit that morning. So the guy was getting up, and he was preaching about faith. If you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to that mountain will move. And he quoted some other scriptures, and I was getting fired up, man. I was sitting in there. I had my Bible. I was making notes. I was like, yeah, talk to me, God, yeah. And so after it was over, I said, man, I'm going to ask him to pray for me because I have the rest of this tour to go on, and I can't be doing this, not breathing, not sleeping all night. I said, I want to get rid of this. So I went up to him. He didn't ask nobody to come up. I went up to him. I said, look, you were preaching about faith, and I got faith that God can heal me. Now, unfortunately, he didn't have any faith. He was like, pray for you? I said, yeah, I believe God can heal me. And he was like, okay. So he called all the other guys around. Hey, come around. We're going to pray for this brother. He got asthma. He wants God to heal him. So they laid hands on me, and they started praying. I said, I receive it. And that was it. We got done. It took about 30 seconds. And I went to go get my Bible out of the car, or put it back in the truck. It was a van. And I stepped up in the van. I felt this sharp pain in my side right here. And I was like, oh, man, I just froze. I was about 20, so medically, I think you can still grow at 20. You can have growing pains. Is that right, somebody? Yeah. So I thought that's what it was. So I moved a little slower. I hopped up in the seat. I sat down, and then I felt another pain, and then it went away, and then I felt like somebody pulled the plug on my lungs, and all the crap that was in there started draining out. Of course, I don't know where it went, and I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I was like, there's more room to breathe. And I said, and I sucked in all the air I could, and I held it as long as I could, and I was like, holy cow, I'm healed. My hands went up in the van. I said, I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm healed. I went in and ate me a big breakfast. I was healed. I was healed. I was healed. That happened 30-something years ago, and I'm still excited. I haven't had no asthma attack since then. Can somebody shout with me, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And just talking about it gets me excited all over again, like it happened yesterday. And that's why the Bible says go back and do your first works all over again. Remind yourself where you came from, what God did for you. Bring it back up. Tell them thank you. I think the old folks, some of the old black folks used to pray, I thank the Lord that last night when I went to bed, the board I slept on wasn't my cooling board. That's for those of you who don't know, that's what you get on when you go to the morgue, when you die. And they used to say stuff like that, and I was like, what are they talking about? But man, after God healed me, after I've seen God raise people from the dead, after I've seen God do miracles, after I've seen him put limbs back on and do all kind of things, like things that you couldn't believe that God would do, when I saw him put people's marriages back together, when I saw him change my life, it got me excited. It got me excited. So I can get excited now and tell you that when you go back and think about what God has done, you cannot be silent. Hello. That's why some of you sitting up in church when everybody else is screaming and you're just sitting there, you're not doing yourself any favors. You know why? Because if you're thankful, then it should come out of your mouth. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart? A lot of. If it's not Thanksgiving, you should change it. But if you get in his presence, it will change. It will change. In the name of Jesus, it will change. Psalms 16:11 says that you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you're praising the Lord, you are exalting and lifting up who God is and what he has done. As a result, you're taking away Satan's opportunity to be present in your life. Look at the left hand and the right hand. On one hand, when you worship God, you're bringing God to bear in your life. He's coming to be involved in your life. When you don't worship him, you're giving Satan opportunity to hang around. When you speak negative stuff and you, instead of blessing people, you curse them. Instead of being nice, you're mean. If you listen to the things that the devil talks to you about and you act on them, you're getting the benefit of Satan. I was listening to somebody preach the other day, and he said, Satan only has one thing that he can do, and it's all bad. It's all bad. It might look good at the beginning, but it's just like any cheap jewelry. It'll look good for a minute, but after you have it for a while, it starts turning green in your ear and doing all kind of stuff. That's how the devil is. Just a cheap. He doesn't have any other options. He can't do good sometime. Hello? Some of us serve the devil and don't even know we're serving him. Because we make ourselves instrument of his instead of instruments of righteousness. But when you get under God's influence, your whole life can change. And worship does that. When praise is coming out of your mouth, there's no room for the enemy to fill your heart with lies and junk. When you're praising God, the devil might be warring against your mind even right then. But if you keep on praising God, he's going to take off. You know why? Because he hates God. He hates God because he knows he's defeated. You know what? Let me give you this picture. God is as big as the whole block of New Song. And the devil is like a little dirt that dropped down there, minus 1 million. Okay? So it's not like it's 51-49 God. You see what I'm saying? You serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Remember, he created Satan. Satan was a beautiful angel. The Bible says he was beautiful, and his body was made like an instrument of worship. And he had pipes in him, and I don't know how it could be beautiful by today's standards, but he was beautiful. I mean, I can't see any, I can't imagine Jerusalem with a big pipe coming out of her head. You know, it's just not that good looking. But anyway, God created Satan, and he was, the Bible said he was an angel of light. And his job was to worship God. And he decided that he didn't want to do that one day. The Bible says that he changed his mind. He decided he did not want to worship God. So when he did that, God gave him the old boot. And he kicked him out of heaven. Some people describe it as he fell from grace. He didn't fall. He was kicked out. So why would you want to be on that team? Who wants to be on that team? Got kicked out. I want to be on God's side. He's the winning side. Amen? Amen? So there's no comparison. When you're worshiping God, you diminish whatever power the devil had over you. One day, I was in a conversation with two friends, and we were good friends. We were sitting down back in the 60s and 70s that we used to have rap sessions. And y'all remember those? You don't know. Anyway, we'd be sitting around talking theological, talking heavy things. We were having a rap session, and we had our legs folded. I can't do that anymore. We were sitting down, you know, and we were all sitting in a little circle talking, and it started getting heated, and it started getting real heated. And then it started getting, you know, visceral. And the Holy Spirit said, you could stop this. Meaning, you need to stop escalating the conversation and defending yourself and doing all that. So I remembered I just read a book about praising God in every situation. I said, well, let me see if it works. In this situation, it ain't going so well right now. Let me see what happens when I praise God. So I begin to praise God. And I just grabbed their hand and said, look, let's just praise God. And they were like, and I didn't wait for them to decide to praise them. I just grabbed their hand and I started saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for this time. And as I did it, the Holy Spirit came right over me. Guess what happened? Along with the presence of the Holy Spirit came the peace of God. And it came over me like oil. Warm oil just came right over me. And it didn't just come over me. It came over them too, because they started praising them too. They started praising them. Then we all started praising them. Guess what? In about 5 minutes, we were having church. And 5 minutes later, we couldn't remember what we were arguing about. And I have never brought it up to this day. I don't even remember. Why? That was 30-some years ago. Because when you praise God, you elevate him into your situation. That's a backwards description. You elevate him into your situation. We're not there, but he comes to be in our situation and take all the glory. But only if we give it to him. So praise is a weapon. Amen? Worship is a weapon. David is a great example of worship. In Psalm 34, and we have to go through this quick. Could you put that up on the screen? David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They who looked to him were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him, and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Amen. So look at this real quick. It says, I will bless the Lord at some times. We mean all times. You mean like when I'm having a good time? When I'm having a medium time? When it's bad? All times. That situation I just told you about, that was not a good time. That's not really the time you want to be blessing the Lord, but that's exactly what I did. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit prompted me to do. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Praise him at all times. When your day is going bad, you know, we're supposed to have Mondays. It's supposed to be a bad day. So tomorrow, some of you who might want to have a bad day, just begin to bless the Lord when things start going left, when they should go right. When kids start acting crazy, just praise God. Just give them some praise. Just glorify his name. Thank him for his power. Thank him for that he can change the heart of anybody. Thank him that he changed your life. It says, his praise shall continually. I like that word, continually or continuously. So it means that you're always thinking about it and you're putting it in your mouth. There's a difference when you, how many of you have had a good experience, somebody did something for you or whatever, and in your mind you were like, man, I really appreciate that, but you didn't say anything. You ever did that? I've done it a ton of times, and I'm like, you know, I really appreciated that, and they left, and I haven't said nothing. I have to get on the phone or do something and tell them. But that's what it says there. I think that's what that means. One way is that we're continuously thinking and speaking. There's the difference. It's not good to be in your heart and never come out of your mouth. It has to come out of your mouth. So that's why it says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then it says, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. One of the things that I got clear, boast means to brag. The only person that has bragging rights is God. Everybody else got to shut up. Pardon my language. But God is the only one that deserves to be bragged about. Can you say amen with me? Do you believe that? And we're the ones who believe God, so we're the ones who should be doing the bragging. God is an awesome God. Tell somebody. God is a big God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, boasting is about God is probably the best thing that you could do. God is the great I am. He was the one who sent his only son to die in my place. Jesus is the only one to resurrect from the dead. He saved our lives from hell. He healed us. He blessed us. Can you say amen? Amen. You can think of your own things in a minute you will get to. Magnify. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify means to enlarge, to focus all of our attention to. God, magnify his name. Just keep talking about him. Remember I told you I focused in on Jerusalem and I put everything else out? That's one way you can magnify. Just focus on God. Shut the world out. Shut out everything that doesn't matter. Get in your closet if you have to. Go in the corner. Man, one time I was praying with this woman and another person and she was demon possessed and nothing was happening. Positive, I should say. She was just winning the fight. And I kept trying to get her delivered, and she didn't want to be delivered, and then she wanted to be, but she wasn't being. And the devil said to me, I'm going to keep her here, and y'all going to put her in the hospital, and she'll never get out. And I said, man, God, you got to do something. So I went in the corner. I didn't want to do it in front of the other people. I don't really know why, but I went in the corner, like over here, and I began to pray in the spirit. And it was like Popeye got his spinach. Hallelujah. And God began to fire me up. And the anointing came on me. And I counted to three and 11 demons left immediately. What couldn't be done in 3 hours was done in 5 seconds. Hallelujah. And I begin to praise God. So get into that place where God is and praise him. Magnify him. Then it says, let us exalt his name together. It says, let us exalt his name together. That would be new song, all of us. So when the worship team and pastors up here leading us in worship, let us exalt his name together. You should not be sitting there looking. You shouldn't be spectating. This is not the Super Bowl. It's better than the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. This will change your life. Now. Amen.
Amen.
So let us exalt his name. So I said a little while ago, and this is a commercial for coming to church on time. Church starts at what time?
Yeah.
At what time? What time should you be here? Oh, you got softer, huh? What happened? Y'all were doing a nice loud 10 o'clock. And then when I said, what time should you be here? And everyone said, 10 o'clock. It's a commercial for being on time. Because when you come at 5 minutes to 10 and the music is playing and then we come out here and we start worshiping God, you're here. Let us, that's us. We have to be together in order to be us. You can't be at home worshiping together. Amen?
Amen?
You can't be late. You have to be on time. Now, this is an encouragement. It's not condemnation. If you feel condemned about what I just said, the devil's talking to you, and I rebuke him now in the name of Jesus. This is encouragement so that you come and get what God has for you in Jesus' name. So let us exalt his name together. And then it says somewhere in here, let me see, where is it? I sought the Lord, he heard me and delivered me from all life. I sought the Lord. I took the time to seek God's face. When I sought the Lord, then guess what he did? He delivered me. If you don't seek the Lord, guess what? No deliverance. Or if it happens, it won't be because you did anything. It's because you didn't do anything. And God wants to deliver you. He loves to break chains off of people. Did you know that? He hates to see, what parent wants to see their kid walking around all handicapped and not doing well? I'm a parent. I don't wish that for my kids at all. I love it when they're free to be who God created them to be. That's how God feels about us. He wants us to be free. So he's encouraging us to come and seek him. And when you seek him, guess what? It's not, I didn't find him. See ya. Seeking means to go looking. You didn't find. How many of you send your kids to go get something out the kitchen or something? I can't find it. That's kind of how we are with God. I spent 5 minutes in prayer, but nothing happened. So God wasn't there. Yes, he was. He's waiting for you to stay there a little bit longer. Amen. He was there. You couldn't hear him. You just turned around and walked away too soon. Let me encourage you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, which means stay there. Keep seeking God. Seek, and the scripture, I believe, the word, that word is something that is continuous. Seek. Keep doing it. Don't seek one time, but seek, 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 seek. When my daughter wanted something from me, she didn't ask me one time, Daddy, can I go to McDonald's? Yeah, wait just a minute. Daddy, can I go to McDonald's now? Can we go get something to eat? Yeah, just a minute. Daddy, it's been a minute. Can we go to McDonald's now? That's what God wants us to do. Keep coming. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Amen? Amen. Amen. So here you go. When you get done seeking and he delivers you, verse 5 says, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces reflect the glory of God. When you're in his presence, you start to look like him. That's why I said, and if I didn't, I'm saying it now, you can't go into God's presence and come out the same way you went in. If you keep coming into his presence, you will be changed. Guarantee. You will be changed. You keep coming into his presence. You will be changed. Whatever your burden is, God will lift it. It might take you 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 times, but when you keep coming, God will set you free. Amen? You will break the stronghold in your life. And verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Not some of them. God delivers your whole life from junk. And he fixes and makes the crooked places straight. Psalm says that he made the way pleasant for me. God gives us, he leads us around stuff and trouble and gives us blessing. And then there's times when we go through stuff, but we go through. We don't get knocked down and knocked out by the thing, whatever it is. God gives us the ability to overcome. Amen? So then verse 8 says, 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. And this is the best part. There's no want to those who fear him, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can you say amen? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today with thanksgiving about all that you are and are doing. And we just ask right now that you would minister to each of us that which you want us to hear. I pray that the word that they've heard would be spirit and life, that you would set somebody free this morning. I declare that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. God is setting somebody free now in the name of Jesus. If you'll worship him right now, if you'll open your mouth and begin to thank God and praise him, don't be shy, don't be afraid. If you were drowning right now, you wouldn't say, help me. You would scream out, help me, help me, somebody help me. And you're talking to God about the very life that you have. Ask him and praise him. Thank him for what he's done. Give him glory right now. Lift up your hands. Stand up and bless the Lord right now. Come on. Bless the Lord. Stand up and bless the Lord. Praise him right now. With your mouth. Open your mouth and thank God. Practice the presence of God right now. Give him praise because he's the great I am. There's nothing too hard for him. Thank him for setting you free right now in the name of Jesus. Give him all the glory in this house. Don't quit. It's not just 2 seconds. He didn't do something for you 1 second. He's been doing it all your life. You have another reason to thank him. Bless him right now. Give him all the glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. God wants to deliver some of you right now from the fear of man. From the fear of man. You're afraid of what people will think because you worship, but I'm setting you free now in the name of Jesus. Worship God with your whole heart. Begin to bless him right now with your whole heart. Maybe there's somebody in here today who has never accepted Christ in your life. God wants to bring freedom to you right now. All you have to do is confess your sin and receive him, and he'll come into your life and change the way things are. He has a purpose for you to make you a new man, a new woman, in Jesus' name. If that's you, just come on down while we're praising God. Don't stop praising him now. Keep on lifting up God. Tell him how much you love him. Give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just sing, we exalt you real quick. We only have a few seconds, but just open up your heart. We exalt thee. Sing that with me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.